How y'all doing this morning? Aren't you glad that you didn't stay home this morning? Amen. It's a blessing, isn't it, to be in God's house? It is a blessing for sure. You know, I want to talk to you this morning about one word, and that word is the word disciple. Webster's Dictionary says a disciple is a person who believes in and helps disseminate or spread, if you want to say, the teachings of a master. You know, often a disciple is one of Christ's followers, it says. That's even what it says in Webster's Dictionary, that it's usually someone who is a Christ follower. You know, who is your master this morning? Who do you turn your life over to, or have you? Are you your own master, or is Jesus Christ your master this morning? The Bible says that you can't serve both the world and Jesus. You can only serve one of them. He said, because Jesus said, I called you out of the world. He said, I came into the world, but I'm not of this world. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. And starting in verse 9:23, we're going to read through 26. This is what God's word says. Then, this is Jesus talking. He said to the crowd, If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily. Did y'all get that? Daily. And follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Man, those are powerful words. It means that if you live for God, even if you have to die for it, it's worth it. The world that we live in is a sinful place, isn't it? There's no such thing as sin anymore. Everything is open to do. Whatever makes you feel good, they say. Right? Am I wrong? Everything is okay to do. It's just a matter of the way you look at it. We have become so liberal in this country. I'm going to make some people mad here. That's another word for liberal to me is sin. If you're a sinful person, if you think that sin is all right, then you're a liberal. Boy, now I'm preaching, Anna. I'm talking politics. I shouldn't do it. The world is sinful, it's self-centered, and it only looks to please itself, no matter what the cost is. Do what feels good to you. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about a horse this morning. How many of y'all just love? Now, I know I'm going to get, y'all are going to love this because this is the way it really is. How many of y'all love to just get on a horse that absolutely doesn't know a thing? He's not even green broke. This sucker doesn't know a thing. And you just love to get on him because you know that just any moment he's going to see a booger. Something's going to happen. He's going to just blow up and just buck you off. And while you're in midair, he's going to kick you in the head. Just one last little, you know, ha, what do you think about that? You know, I know all of us love to get on horses like that. You know, really, we don't. Really, we want a horse that is trained, one that has learned and has been taking the time. For someone has taken the time with that horse to teach him what he needs to know to, one, to be safe, two, not to be stupid and do stupid things, and to be so that you're secure on him, that you know that you can count on that animal and that he's useful. He can actually do a job. And you don't have to constantly sit there and go, what's fixing to happen next? As you're riding down the trail looking for cows, you know, you're not thinking to yourself, what's he going to see that's just going to blow him up? And I'm going to end up in a ditch or on a creek bank. What's going to happen? you want a trained horse. Let me tell you, let me show you a little something. When you start training a horse, you start out with a bit, something like this, a snaffle bit. It's just a bit that you put in their mouth. You teach them, and you have to be in that bit for quite a while to teach a horse how to give to the bit, to respond. And as he learns and as he gets better, you go to a different type of bit. You go to this kind of bit. This bit is a correction bit. As you step up, and I'm talking about months, if not years, getting them ready for this one. This one helps teach them other things. And once they learn to give to this, then you learn to stop them. You get all the things. Then you go to the last, what I call the last stage, the C. There's A, B, and C. A is the worst for miler. B is next to being worst. And this is supposed to be the easy one, the one that when you put it in the mouth, it just lays on their mouth. They're fully trained at this point. You don't have to worry about them. You just ride them and enjoy the day. Enjoy what you're doing because they know their job. They know what they're supposed to be doing. They give themselves over to the one who is riding them. You are their master, and they know it. They've stopped doing stupid stuff. They start listening to you and going, I trust you to not get me in trouble. I trust you to take me to a place where I need to go. I trust you that I'm not going to get hurt. That is a fully trained horse. One that knows that. Knows that you love them and you're going to feed them and you're going to take care of them. They don't worry about things like that because they know that you're going to do it. What good is a horse if he's not useful? Nothing. What good is a Christian or a disciple of Jesus that doesn't learn from its master? Boy, that's tough. Because you think about it, the master can't use you like he wants to. You're not at that point in your life. Is it possible for a child of God to be a Christian and not a disciple? Do you think? If you're a Christian, you're a disciple, okay? A lot of people would disagree with that, but I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian, you are a disciple. Now, what kind of disciple you are is yet to be determined. Are you useful to God's kingdom? Can he take you and put you in any situation and know that you're not going to get scared, to know that you're not going to worry, to know that you're going to do the job that he put you there to do? Woo, y'all. Man, could God count on me? That was one of the things that as I was going through the week, I had a semi-tough week. I felt like I was being attacked by the devil. I really did. Things were going wrong. I'm left and right. This one particular day, I didn't have a vehicle to drive. And I'm just thinking about all, the devil is just trying to get in my head and going, what are you going to do? This is going to cost you $1 million. You're not, who's taking care of you? You know, there's one thing that I kept saying over and over in my head. And it was the only thing that I could use against Satan that day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to be glad in it. I kept saying that over and over as I was driving my wife's car, which was working. Had that for a blessing. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to be glad in it. And I just kept saying that over and over and over. And you know what I found out? Satan left. He got gone. He just packed up and went somewhere else and bugged somebody else. You know why? He cannot stand against God's word. He can't stand up to it. When Jesus himself was in the desert and the devil was tempting him, the minute that he started using scripture, he was gone. He could not stand up against God's word. Remember that when you're in that, when you're in that dark place, when you're in that place where you feel like you're all alone and you're just, there's just nobody there. God is there. He'll never forsake you. You know, we can live our life with assurance of our salvation, but we can miss the whole process of maturing as a Christian. To be a disciple, we have to deny ourselves. It says, well, you got to deny yourself. What does that mean? You got to put God first. You got to put what you want aside, and you have to do what God wants you to do. You willingly do that. When you're on a horse, he has to put, do you think that he wants to willingly give all that power that he has? If that horse really knew how puny, stinking puny we are, that he could stomp a greasy spot in the ground with us, do you think he could do it? He could. But he willingly relinquishes that. He still has all the power to do what you need him to do, but he has given himself over to the master. We have to deny ourselves. What does it take to become a mature disciple of Christ? Some of the things you got to do is, one of the things you got to, man, you got to open up God's Word. You've got to read it, and you've got to read it daily, several times a day. When you start your day off, start it off reading it, and during the day, and at night. This is how we learn about God, how we become more like Him. We have to spend time in God's Word. We have to spend time in prayer. Amen? Prayer is a powerful weapon. When things are going awry, you say a prayer. What are you saying? Help! I need help, Father. Help me. And He's always faithful to help us. Amen? He never lets us down. You know, having a relationship with Jesus through prayer and studying God's Word is how a disciple learns. The question I have for you, do you know who you're following this morning? Do you know like God like the back of your hand? I mean, I know every stinking freckle, wrinkle, cut, mark, scars. I know everything about my hands. Do you know God like that? Is Jesus your priority? You know, when Jesus lived his life, he was not a selfish person. He was unselfish. He was constantly giving himself to serve others. He was constantly trying to show people the love of his Father, how much that God loved them. How much that God wanted the relationship with them. That was Jesus' purpose. It was his purpose, too, to die for us, for salvation. But the whole time he was living, he was constantly giving himself to others, trying to serve. Even his disciples, he set them down and washed their feet. You know what a stinking job that must have been? These guys wore sandals in the desert, and their feet were dirty. And, I mean, even they, when Jesus started doing it, they said, no, man, Lord, you can't wash my feet. They're bad. They're dirty. They're nasty. He says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. So they let him do it. Peter let him do it. Jesus spent his life teaching others what God had taught him. Another question I have for you this morning, are you satisfied with your life this morning? Are you satisfied where you're at? I know I'm not. I want more because I'm the kind of guy, I always want more. We are a people who wants more, right? You get a little bit of dessert, what do you want? You want more. You want the big piece. You don't want a little old thin little slice. Give me more. When you go to eat lunch, you want more. They even at the drive-ins, they have a little thing where you can get jumbo size fries. Not just regular, but you can get the jumbo. You can get the jumbo drink, the big one, the extra large, the grande. Same thing with coffee. They got grande coffees. We always want more. This morning, though, do you control your life's direction or does Jesus? You know, when I'm on my horse, his whole job is to yield to me. When I put that bit in his mouth and I ask him to step out, I expect him to move. When I put my spur into him to get him to, I expect him to move away from it. Everything I do on that horse, I expect it like that. And he responds. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about a barrel racing horse, if you're talking about a team roping horse, a ranch horse, it doesn't matter. You want that horse to respond to you when you're on his back. You don't want him to ignore you or act like he doesn't even know you or act like that he's never had a saddle on his back before or a bit in his mouth. Even if it was just yesterday, you expect him to be perfect when you ride. When God sends us out to do a job, what does he expect us to do? It's awful quiet in here, y'all. I can hear a pin drop. What does God expect for us? Does he expect us to ignore him and say, man, God, I don't even know what you're talking about? What do you mean? I've never witnessed anybody. I've never told anybody about Jesus. I've never given my testimony. Man, Lord, you expect me to invite somebody to come to church? God has one agenda, and that's loving others and making sure that they know about the free gift of eternal life that Jesus offers them. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to spend quality time in the Word. We need to spend more time praying, encouraging others, and reading the Bible, which is our lesson book. It gives us our direction, where God wants us to go. It gives us encouragement, hope, and it also gives us comfort. It's our textbook for discipleship. Being a disciple of Jesus, believe it or not, is a great adventure. It's exciting. I'm telling you, it's the best trail that you'll ever get on in your whole life. Because there's one thing for sure that I've learned being in the ministry is you never know what God's going to do next. Never. From one day to the next, I think I've got, oh boy, I've got this plan. Boy, tomorrow I'm going to do such and such. And God goes, wait a minute. I've got this for you to do. Okay. So I have to adjust. I have to change. I have to put what I think I should be doing and start doing what God wants to do. I may be way down that trail of my own before God stops me. Because why? I'm hard hearing. I am. Sometimes I get spiritually hard hearing sometimes. God has to, because God speaks softly. He says, Lynn, you need to stop doing that. You're not going the right direction, son. I need you to stop. You need to turn around and come back this direction because I got this path I want you to go on. And just like that untrained horse, that horse starts bracing that bit, grabbing it, going, no, I don't want to stop. I want to keep going this way. I don't want to turn around. No, uh-uh. Just fighting it, just grabbing a hold of it, saying, no, I'm not going to do it. That's exactly the way we do God. I know a lot of you are sitting there saying, man, I ain't a horse. Why are you saying that I'm like a horse? I hate to say it, but a lot of us are just as stubborn, are we? I know I am. Sometimes God's got to hit me over the head with a baseball bat to get my attention. Where are you when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus? no matter where you are, no matter what trail you're on, I promise you one thing, it's worth the ride. Wherever you're going, wherever God sends you, even if it seems like a little thing, at the end of it, it's worth the ride. Amen? You know, making good horses and making good Christians takes two things, time and effort. Are you willing to put the effort into God? You know, there's lots of times that I've given up on a horse. He just wouldn't listen to me after years of training. There was just something not right with his head because you never knew what he was going to do. And there was lots of times I'd say, you know what, there's too many good horses out there. I'm just going to get rid of this knothead and I'm going to get me a good one. You've done it, Craig, hadn't you? You know them horses that are just so dang ornery, you just can't do anything with them. And you finally had enough, and you go, I've had enough, I'm going to let somebody else deal with it. You don't really care where he goes as long as he's not on your place. I can promise you one thing. I may give up on a horse, but God will never give up on me. No matter how stubborn I am, no matter how far down that trail I go, in the wrong direction, God will never, ever, ever give up on trying to bring me back. He is faithful. Even when I'm not faithful, God is always, always faithful to us because of one thing. He loves us. He loves you that much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. Oh, it's so good to feel the Holy Spirit's presence this morning. Father, in the music, it was here when I came this morning, when we first opened the doors, Father, I felt your presence. It wasn't because I brought it in here, Father, it was because you were already here. I felt you during the singing time. I feel you now, Lord, all during the time that you were speaking to us in your word. Father, just thank you for not giving up on us. I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, would examine our lives, where we are as disciples of Jesus. Are we usable, Lord? Are we like that horse that's just so untrained, Lord, and he's not good for anything, not much good for anything, except eating grass? I pray, Father, that I not be like that, that I would be a useful vessel that you can fill up and pour out for your use. And I ask that same thing for each and every person that's here. Father, that we would all feel your presence, that we would all feel the joy that comes from serving you and giving our lives to you. If there's someone here, Lord, that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, they've never turned their life over to you. They're still living for themselves. I pray, Father, that they would not leave this building, Lord, that they get it right. That they accept you as their Lord and Savior and receive that free gift of eternal life that you willingly give. It's free for all if they would just believe. Father, if there's someone here this morning that's going down that wrong trail, Father, I don't care how far down it they are. Even if they're in a hole, Lord, that they've dug themselves into, I just ask you, Father, to call unto them now. If you have to, Lord, stick a ladder in there and get them out. Draw them back to you so that they can get on the right path of serving you. I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name I pray, Father, and we love you. Amen. Woo! Man, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got up this morning and got into God's house. I just pray that y'all have a great week. No matter what trail that God sends you on this week, I pray that he'd bless you. We've got a lot of things going on in our church now, and we need a lot of help. We need a lot of folks to step up. That's not necessarily what this sermon was about, because it's really about each individual person, about what we are doing for Christ. Are we serving ourselves or are we serving Him? Who is your master? The world or Jesus? Can't be both. Just remember that. If you remember, we've got the can in the back. We don't pass the hat around here. We put our tithe and offering in that, and we've got this going on to raise funds. Now, don't use your tithe money. I said I wasn't going to do this, but don't use your tithe money to buy a ticket for the four-wheeler. That's above and beyond your tithes, okay? We're trying to raise money to add on to this building for our children and our youth. And we've also got a prayer request box back there that if you have any prayer requests, you can put those in there. You don't even have to put on there, if you don't want to, what it's about, that I will still pray for you. And no one sees those prayer requests but me, unless you notate on there that you want me to share it with the elders. Otherwise, I'm the only one that sees it. If you're looking for a church home this morning, if you're looking for a place to serve God, I just ask you to consider Common Ground Cowboy Church, because I promise you this church is full of loving brothers and sisters in Christ. God bless all of you as you go out this week. No matter what trail you're on, I pray that God will protect you and bring you back home. God bless you.